Welcome to the Outdoor Citizen. As always, we want to thank Don Richmond for the music that you're hearing in the background, and Daniel Boyce for the bird songs as well. Our guest today is Will Rickards, the ASAP coordinator for Adams State University. ASAP stands for Adams State Adventure Programs. Welcome, Will. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Marty. I feel fantastic to be here, and I really appreciate the invite.
So, Will, just tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you to Adams State.
Oh, my gosh. How much time you got? I was born in Wales. I was raised on the folklore of the local mountains, sea and rivers, and constantly being harangued sort of from the age of sort of 18 onwards, when you're going to get a real job. and was fortunate and got into outdoor education in what I will describe as a golden age in the UK. And just super, super lucky. I mean, the thing about outdoor education in the UK was it was based out of education authorities. So you had to become a teacher first, primarily, before you could work. And then you would sort of acquire the various outdoor qualifications over time under the auspices of someone who was good at them. And the reason that was so neat was that it was a career. It was something that people did for 40 years. And you can imagine, when you do something for 40 years, you get really good at it. And so I just had these incredible mentors, and I just stood on the shoulders of giants, and I just watched this field just get more and more sleek. And yeah, I mean, I was just able to do incredible things.
Well, and the history of outdoor recreation from the UK is pretty remarkable.
Oh,
think
absolutely.
About the first person who ascended some of the Himalayas and so on. It's just incredible.
Yeah, and it's accompanied by all that literature, which is just unbelievable. And, you know, that literature still goes on. And, you know, I lived in a little Mecca, North Wales. And so I got to sort of drink coffee in climbing cafes with a lot of authors and video makers later on, but certainly sort of photographers earlier on. And, you know, that you listen to these incredible stories, you get inspired to create your own, you start telling them. And then the nice thing about outdoor education is you're telling stories to students who then adopt those stories and start living them. And it's just this ongoing process of watching this magic happen where people get involved in doing exciting things, adventurous things in outdoor spaces. And yeah, I was just so fortunate.
Great. Well, what brought you to the United States initially?
I started off as a teacher, and I was working in an outdoor center. And I was very fortunate in that, having been teaching kids for a number of years, I went into the boss's office and said, "Have you got a job for me next year?" And he said, "No." And I was a little bit stymied by that. A friend of mine, and he particularly liked her, went in and she said, "Have you got a job for me next year?" He said, "No." And I think we were starting to see the cuts in outdoor education at the time. We went in together and we said, "If we share a job, have you got a job for us?" Both of us really liked working at that center. And he said, "No." But as we were leaving the door, he said, "But if you find the work, I'll employ you." And at the time, there was a college program looking for a center to run their outdoor days, and we put a ridiculously low bid in for it, won it, and that became my job for the next 4 years. And I kind of felt bad. I only had a degree, and I'm teaching on, you know, students from the age of, it was a BTEC course, and BTEC, you can either use it as the final 2 years of school, so high school, or if in the UK, you tend to do a degree in 3 years, so it could also be used for the first 2 years of a four-year degree. But we also had it was also vocational in nature, so a lot of people would sort of, having done something, come to us to learn something different. And it was an incredible 4 years But I was thinking I ought to go and get a master's. So I came over here to get a master's.
Oh, and where did you get your master's?
UNC in Greeley.
Oh.
Yeah, Greality. And, you know, like a lot of things, it was a really neat time in that I came out to a conference prior to sort of selecting the college. I thought I'd come to a place where everyone was rather than tour around the country looking for programs. And I went to every keynote and lecture given by someone who was working in the Rocky Mountains, basically, and chose my lecturer, my professor, from those. And then I basically hassled him to let me sort of go to his college. And it was funny because it was in Wyoming, and I'd got a one-way ticket from Denver to Jackson Hole, thinking it would be... I'd literally flown to Denver thinking it'd be cheaper to get an internal flight to Jackson Hole, only to find out that it was more expensive to fly from Denver to Jackson Hole than it was from Manchester to Denver. And so I'd got a one-way ticket. And when I met Reed, I said, will you give me a lift back? And he said, sure. I was thinking, this is great. And he'd been brought up under Paul Petzold, and Paul Petzold was having his memorial service that weekend as well. He got very emotional and forgot all about me till he was halfway across Wyoming. So when I called him a couple of days later, I mean, the guy was feeling so guilty. And so I asked him if I could come and see him at Greeley, and he said yes. And then I asked him how guilty he was feeling. He said he was exceptionally guilty. So I asked him, well, if I teach one of your courses and you like it, would you help me to find a teaching assistantship? And it worked out. It was fantastic.
So how did you get from Jackson Hole to Greeley?
Oh, that was a fun story, but we haven't got time.
All right. So after your master's degree from UNC, mm-hmm. what came next?
I mean, if you've been to Greeley, it's, you know, it's close to things, but it's not really the place you want to be. So I was on a student visa, and I had to work in a college to perpetuate my student status, so I managed to swing adjunct work up at CMC in Leadville and moved up there. And my girlfriend at the time followed me from Greeley to Leadville, which blew me away, so we ended up getting married. And then, yeah, my 1 year became, well, it was 2000, wasn't it? So it's been a long time.
So I noticed on your website that you have quite a bit of photos and so on from the Wiminooch. So how did you get interested going from Greeley to Leadville into the Wiminooch in the San Juans?
Yeah, I mean, when we lived in Leadville, then we would come down here occasionally. It's not that far. I came down to do things like the Ellingwood Arete on Cresto Needle and stuff like that. You know, it's just the classic stuff. And I think the Wiminooch, though, was we were living in Denver and needed to go do a backpacking trip with my son, and his cousin lived in Durango, so we just threw it out there that we would come down for that. But, you know, you tour around, don't you? I mean, if you're obviously into mountains and things like that, you've probably been to quite a few of them, and you find the ones that you like the most, and I definitely like it around here, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. So what brought you to Adams Estate then, specifically?
Yeah, so you commented earlier that my hair was not quite the color that it once was. I'm definitely getting a little older. It has to be.
So all you have to do is look at me.
I'm closer to 60 than I am to 50, which I find quite startling, to be perfectly honest. I'd been working in outdoor education, and I stopped for about 13 years. And I just felt this need to get back into it. And so I applied for quite a few places, and I was really excited when Adams Estate called me down for an interview, and it became very apparent that this was a place that I would really enjoy being. And, you know, I'd been telling my son for quite a few years. He'd been living with me for 5 years at this point, 6 years at this point. And I told him as soon as he finished high school, I was leaving Denver. But I don't know that I believed it. You know, I said, I want to go back to somewhere rural. I want to go back somewhere where I feel like I'm in the mountains. And, things aligned. And when they offered me the job, I was pretty excited by that, I must admit. And for a number of reasons, I think I love the fact that the university does involve itself with the community. I think a lot of universities are claimed to, but don't necessarily do it. And I see a university that is, well, certainly in my field, it's incredibly aligned with what's going on. And
You know, when I've come into the Rex Activity Center, sometimes it's difficult to track you down because you're with a group of young students either on the climbing wall or out at the statue talking about outdoor ethics and giving them instructions, showing them the ropes, if you know what I mean. Yep. So you're certainly stepping right into wholeheartedly adopting the outdoor education here.
Thank you. I mean, I feel like I'm not. I feel like I've been watching rather than doing. You're right. I mean, when I look at the numbers that we've had through the climbing wall this so far this year, they're pretty up there. And, you know, thank you for asking me here this week. You know, it's the week of Thanksgiving, I love Thanksgiving because you not only tend to be thankful, you tend to think about, you tend to dig a little bit more deeply into what you're thankful for. And I've been reflecting on that a great deal. And I just think, you know, when I came here, you're never quite sure. You're wondering, is it a political hot potato? Is it going to be, am I going to be welcomed? What's going on? You know, there's obviously been something happened historically, and, you know, they haven't been running. There's been a little bit of a hiatus. So there's a reason for that. But oh my gosh, I cannot get over how welcoming everyone has been, and I cannot get over how integrated ASAP is with the community. And I think, you know, I feel so fortunate. You know, I look at the people who trod in my shoes before I did, and they've been so kind and generous with their time and sharing what was. And then, you know, I think about how my bosses, all my budget requests have been approved. I mean, this never happens, right? And so, you know, you're just thinking, there are some amazing things that we will be able to do because of that. I think about how my role is supported fiscally by the community. You know, I work for the university, but it's not just the university that pays for me. Through grant money, SLV Go have managed to put together this incredible collaboration, a coalition for the Gen Wild. I mean, you know, I get to spend time most weeks with a bunch of idealistic young people with so much energy and so much excitement and just the desire to get young people outside doing fun things and educating them through that. And I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, this is brilliant. And, you know, if I'm not thankful at the moment, something is really wrong. A day like today, the sun is shining. It is gorgeous. This view of the Crestones, and they're just gleaming with the fresh snow from the weekend. And, yeah. You know, it's just unbelievable. And I just, every day so far this fall has been incredible. I mean, I get on my bike for about an hour as many days of the week as I can do at sort of a late lunchtime, the warmest part of the day. And I just have this big smile on my face. I've landed in a different planet. The San Luis Valley is this just beautiful, beautiful place where, my gosh, people drive across the road to pass you. Where does that happen? Seriously, where does that happen?
So that is my experience too, although I must tell you that's not always the case.
For sure.
Every once in a while, I have to holler at somebody, you're passing too close.
Yeah, but it's not, I mean, I'm not getting buzzed like a foot away by someone doing 60 miles an hour, is often the case up in the Front Range, you know? And it's just like empty roads, straight as a die, flat as a pancake. You know, they're straight for days. We're not just talking hours. And you're just cruising along with these expansive views and the sun's out. And it's like, oh my gosh, I know it's going to be windy in spring. I know I've got to get ready for that. But at the moment, it's just, it's been incredible.
The good thing about the spring winds is that the wind resistance allows, I'm serious about this, the wind resistance allows you to build up your capacity to climb hills.
Totally. I'm going to be strong as a demon.
There you go.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you just got to be smart, don't
you? So speaking about bicycling, we'll get to some more stuff about Adam State in just a minute. But speaking about bicycling, I saw on social media you had posted a bicycling video of Adam State.
Oh, it's my son, actually. Just I found a bunch of old jerseys, so I gave him one. I said, put that on.
Well, but what it brings to mind is Adam State, years ago, did have a cycling team and a climbing team.
Yep.
And I'm wondering if you have any plans to resurrect those.
I think what's going to happen is going to happen organically. But how much do I give away? You know, it's like there's obviously things sort of coming up, you know, coming about in my brain at the moment. And one of my goals is to, I would love to find a company that wants to help us acquire a fleet of gravel bikes, because I would love to have a daily ride. You know, I look at what SLV Go are doing with wellness, and there's the whole prescription. I mean, you had a really good conversation with Esteban about prescribing outdoors, right? Well, we got a counseling department at the university that's really incredible, and I would love to see them giving out scripts, and I would love to have this sort of daily ride where the emphasis was on creating a community, was on sort of flourishing, fun, and fitness. Those are my three Fs, right? You know, really focusing on honing in on the sort of the tools of positive psychology to help people to flourish. I mean, you think about what has been going on in the last few years post-COVID, and the young people are just being hammered. You know, my son, he had quite a few years. You know, he would, after my wife and I had got divorced, he ended up living with me, and so he was used to having the house to himself, and you know, he was pretty independent. And then suddenly, we're all
cooped up together.
And then his mom gets cancer, and we end up inviting her back into the house. And so then he had quite a few years of sort of, and I just see how it's taken a toll on him. And he's not the only one. It took a toll on me, you know. And I feel like I kind of know a lot of the tools for digging myself out, but no, not enough. And I just think we've got to do things for sort of helping people to flourish again, and sort of, you know, come about the tools that help them to be the best possible people they can be. And, you know, positive psychology is a great resource for finding those tools. And, you know, we all know that exercise is a huge part of that, especially if you're exercising in the zone too, you know, and you're sort of, you know, if you're able to talk while you're exercising, then good things are happening inside your body. You're building up your mitochondria and your muscles, and you know, there's a little bit of magic going on there that really helps you to be the best person you can be. And so, yeah, I would love to see a daily ride where we just go out and spin easy gears and have people talking and give them questions so they talk with each other. And yeah.
And we used to do that over the noon hour.
Yep.
We'd get on the bikes.
That's the plan.
People would bring their own bikes. We had a fleet of old commuter bikes, but they were really clunkers. Yep. So people would generally bring their own bikes. We'd go out on the levee and maybe out through the farm park and out through the city ranch, spend about 40, 45 minutes. It was not enough so that people would work up a sweat and feel like they had to shower before going back to work.
Yep.
But and we had community members who would join us, not just the college people or college students.
It's not original. But yeah, I mean, I think it's brilliant.
And bringing it back would be a great thing. I would love to join you on a ride.
I would love it if you did. And I would love to see that, become, you know, getting a bit of a following. So that's a bit of a goal. And yeah.
So what other sorts of plans do you have for ASAP?
Biggest one. Do you know what 2025 is? It is the 100th year anniversary of ASAP. It's the third oldest outdoor program in universities in the States.
I did not know that.
How cool is that, right? And you just think, oh my gosh, we've got to celebrate it. We've got to celebrate it. So I would love to see at least 100 events that year. I would love to see 100% participation from on-campus students and figure out ways of making that happen. And I would love to recreate the original trip.
What was the original trip?
The original trip was Luther Bean basically organized a group of students to get on horseback in Alamosa, ride out to Lake Como and ascend Blanca.
Wow.
And I would love to see that recreated, but this is still just ideas, right? So there's nothing, you know, set down yet. But if anyone wants to help me, I would love this to happen. If you know horsebackers who would love to help this come about, please reach out. Because I would love to see this happen. But I would also love people to ride bikes out there. I would love people to drive out there. I just want to take over Mont Blanca for a few days and get as many people to the top as possible and, you know, incorporate, you know, a lot of the resources we have in town. It would be great to get the rescue team. Well, I've not talked to them yet. So. Yeah, I'm kind of telling you before I should, really. But, yeah, I would love to see that. And I would love to see, you know, state representatives. I want it not just to be a celebration of ASAP. I want it to be a celebration of Adams State. I want it to be a celebration of outdoor recreation. I want it to be a celebration of Colorado and just how amazing a place this is and, or the, you know, what we have available to us living here. And I don't see why we couldn't get sort of a few dignitaries involved. And it'd be good to see someone who doesn't normally do it ride a horse and then climb Mont Blanc. You know, senators who used to be in the outbound, haven't we? So it's, you know, yeah.
I'm just thinking.
Media frenzy, that's what I want, right?
Some people might not be all that interested in climbing Blanca after they've ridden 20 or 25 miles on a horse.
It's a little bit more. It's that.
Well, it's just that not everyone is built for riding a horse.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, people could ride their bikes out there. They could
drive out there. Yeah. We just got a big camp going on by the lake. You know what I mean? I don't know what it's going to look like yet, but this is where my brain is going.
Yep. What about activities for the students in 2024?
Yeah, well, we got to sort of build it up. And I want to repeat a lot of the things that used to be. I mean, you know more about this than I do, but I look at the old posters and, you know, in the sort of winter, then there was a lot of ice climbing. There was a lot of skiing. There was, you know, and there's so much to do around here. And
as long as we get some snow.
Yeah. But even if we don't, you can always.
You can always ride, sure.
And there's always things to do, you know. This is a heaven for so many different sports. I mean, like gravel riding. Is there anywhere better? Is there? I don't know that there is. You know, you go into the South San Juans, and there are roads that just circulate around there, so you can just put together all these different routes, and they just, you know, bike packing in the South San Juans would just be incredible. And you can ride your bike from Alamosa to get there. You don't have to drive anywhere. Oh, I'm excited. I'm really excited.
I think our listeners will be able to tell you're pretty excited. And Owen and Chris and I here in the studio can look at you and tell that this is sincere excitement. This is not just put on. This is the real deal, folks.
Yeah, this place is an overlooked mecca. You know, if people should be heading here. They should be heading here with their bike. I mean, I know you don't want them to, but you do at the same time. I mean, this is going to be one of the best ways of creating revenue in the valley.
Yes.
And we've got to find that balance. And the thing
balance.
Is just
I like that word.
And to, you know, what I love, you know, you've got these organizations like SLV Go, and what it means is, as things happen, it's very structured and thought through. You know, it's not just going to happen because it's forced to happen by, you know, people coming in. I think we're going to have things in place before they come on in, because we are being thoughtful. We are so lucky. I mean, I've seen places destroyed because, you know, people didn't think about it. And, you know, the bottom line is, we want people out here because we want people to realize what a special place it is. We want it to be looked after. It'll only get looked after if people love it. And so we need people to think about it as they come in, rather than just use it and throw it or discard it, you know?
Yep.
And I think we are definitely contemplating that as a valley. And it's brilliant. I went to one of the campfire conversations the other night at Monte Vista, you know, the right. Again, you mm-hmm. had Chuck here.
Yeah, Chuck was here.
Yeah, uh-huh. And it was fantastic. You know, it's that whole thing where, you know, you may not share beliefs with someone, and that's okay. I mean, it's difficult, but it's okay. What you got to recognize is the values that you share. And it was just one of those evenings of sharing values. I saw one of the funniest things ever. Gigi, who is the city manager,
yeah, Gigi Dennis,
was sat next to SLV Go, Dark Sky.
Danny Robin.
Danny. Well, Gigi wants to turn on her Christmas lights, and Danny is Miss Dark Sky. and you're just, I mean, it's just one of the funniest things ever. But, you know, the bottom line was they saw their shared values, even if they had different beliefs. And there was kindness there, and there was, you know, an acceptance, even if they didn't see the world the same way. And I think that's what we need. We need conversation. We need acceptance. We need to, you know, I'm not going to see the world the same way as everyone.
And going outside is a good place to do that.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, all my best friends have been formed outside, that's for sure.
Yeah. In the past, when when we came to Adam State in 89, ASAP didn't exist as that name. It was the Adam State Outdoor Program.
Sure.
And although it was primarily for faculty and students and staff, community members were always welcome to attend. You know, they'd have to pay a nominal fee sure. of some sort. Do you see an opportunity for community members?
Why not?
Because in
absolutely
just in the recent past, there hasn't been
there's not been anything much. For it's anybody.
Not been, it's not been advertised or
there's
anything.
There's been nothing for anybody. So, you know, it's not just that the community's been missing out. The students have been missing out as well. It was kind of interesting in my interview. I mean, a lot of the students didn't know about ASAP. I see posters everywhere, but I guess I'm looking for it. It's like the blue Subaru, isn't it?
Watch out, we have a blue Subaru.
But once you've had one, you see them everywhere.
Yeah, that's right.
I was thinking about this with the students. I mean, they just did not know it existed. And they didn't know what questions to ask me, you know, and because they had not had the experience. And it's like, okay. You know, my goal for 100% on-campus student participation is for a reason. I want them to sort of realize the value of adventure, and I want them to, you know, to maybe make it part of their life following college. I definitely want it to be part of the Adams experience. You know, we need it to be part of the Adams
yes.
experience. And I think I review gear for website called Engearment, and through that I spend quite a lot of time talking with PR companies who sort of look after outdoor companies, and they all want to tell this story. They want it to be their narrative, where, you know, people who don't normally get to go outside get to go outside. This is going on in the valley all the time, right? This is what we do. If I get 100% on-campus student participation, then that story is being told, or it's being sung from the rooftops. It's you know, so I think it's a very good goal because it just deals with things without having to talk about it.
Great. Well, Will, I think we're coming close to the end of our time here.
How is left?
Yeah. Well, you have given people some ideas for the 2025
sure.
celebration, and you asked folks if they have some information to share to get in touch with you.
Please
How
do
they do that?
Yeah, I my office is in the Rex, in the Activity Center on campus, and you'll find me there. I do have an email address, wrickards, so that's wrickards@adams.edu. That's a good way to go. But I want to sort of use this as a sort of throwing something out there. We have these incredible resources at the university. What I need at the moment, and if you know someone that falls into this category, I want you to send them to me as some students, preferably who want to be teachers and want to use the experiential education model, because I found out the other day we will be getting our ropes course back up and running again this year.
Great.
So I'm really excited about that. That was one of my budget requests. You know, we obviously have the climbing wall. I would love to see kids in there, you know, all morning. I would love to see two groups in every day, but I can't do that all by myself. So if I can find some students, then I would love that. If any of my colleagues at the university are listening to this, any of my faculty, I would love to see collaboration where, you know, we are incorporating experiential ed into your classes, and I am more than happy to do that. So if you have an idea for how you can incorporate adventure into your sessions, or you don't and you want to know how to, come find me. And I want to clarify, adventure is not necessarily sort of hanging onto a mountain by your fingertips, as in sort of promised by sort of media sensationalizing things. I define adventure as the feeling you get from an uncertain outcome. All it needs is a bit of uncertainty, and you get this sort of palpable sensation. That's adventure. That's what we're striving for. You can do it playing. You can get it playing music. You can have it in your own bathroom if you really want to. I don't know how, but I'm sure you can. yeah. So yes, if anyone wants to collaborate, if anyone wants to, who knows of students who would be really good to help me, please reach out.
And again, that's Will Rickards, wrickards, @adams.edu.
Thank you, Marty.
Will, thank you so much for coming in. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Oh, it's been a pleasure to be here.
And I look forward to many more interactions with
you. I hope so, yeah. Thank you, Marty.
You bet. We'll be right back after a brief message from our sponsors. You've been listening to The Outdoor Citizen.
Did you know Monte Vista has more to offer than just gorgeous mountain views? It has a heart bigger than the Culebra Peak. This year alone, with the help of the Lohr Foundation, Monte Vista locals led over 50 community projects that helped make life in Monte Vista even better. Whether it was expanding the Connor Animal Shelter or launching a student-run t-shirt shop, the Lohr Foundation was thrilled to support these efforts and wants to do even more. If you or your community group need funding for a project that can enhance life in Monte Vista, contact Yvette Atencio at IVETTE@LORFoundation.org. Let's keep working toward a better Monte Vista.
Welcome back to The Outdoor Citizen. We're going to give you some upcoming outdoor events. Remember, the Valley Calendar is the most comprehensive listing of events from across the San Luis Valley. Be sure to check it out and stay up to date at alamosacitizen.com. Here's a look at some events in November and December. Colorado Parks and Wildlife Fresh Air Friday is this Friday, November 25th. Colorado Parks and Wildlife will waive all entry fees for Colorado State Parks on Friday to encourage people to get outside during the holiday weekend. It's also a good excuse to walk off that fabulous Thanksgiving dinner. On Wednesday, November 29th at 5 p.m., the Rio Grande National Forest will be presenting this month's Forest Specialist Series on gray wolves and the reintroduction. Rio Grande National Forest Fisheries and Wildlife Program Manager Jason Remchart and Colorado Parks and Wildlife Southwest Region Senior Wildlife Biologist Jameen Grigg will be presenting information about the wolves. They'll talk about wolf biology and identification, as well as the reintroduction program managed by CPW. Visit the Rio Grande National Forest website or Facebook page for event information. Saturday, December 2nd from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. is the San Juan Nordic Club Ski and Gear Swap at the Alamosa Family Rec Center. The Ski Swap works as a fundraiser for the club and provides the community an opportunity to purchase and sell winter gear and other outdoor recreation clothing and equipment. Gear drop-off is December 1 from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. and December 2nd from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. This drop-off is located at the Rec Center, 2222 Old Sanford Road. Contact Adam Moore for more information. His number is 336-607-4465. And if you can volunteer to assist with the San Juan Nordic Club Ski and Gear Swap, please contact Adam or send a message to the San Juan Nordic Club on Facebook. They can use your assistance in making sure this is a successful venture. Later in December, Colorado Parks and Wildlife is hosting hunter education classes. Those will be held December 16th and 17th at the Sky High Complex in Monte Vista. You can reach out to District Wildlife Manager Tyler Cherney at 719-850-6363 to enroll or to learn more. On The Outdoor Citizen, we invite all the outdoor recreationists and nature enjoyers to be part of our ever-changing team of outdoor field correspondents. You don't have to report the news, just tell us about your adventures, big or small, in the San Luis Valley's great outdoors. Here's our latest outdoor field report from Chris Lopez, who spent a calm and quiet morning at the Heigl Ranch and Heigl State Wildlife Area this week ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday weekend.
Hey, Marty. It's Thanksgiving week. I'm hanging out at the Heigl State Wildlife Area in the Heigl Ranch. It's stunning, really, how quiet it is. Early morning, Monday of Thanksgiving. You hear the birds in the trees and in the fields. The river is very, very quiet this morning. It's hardly moving, just beautiful. Hope you have a good Thanksgiving week. This is my outdoor report. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Whether you're walking or biking the local trails or climbing mountains, hunting and fishing, or just sitting in your backyard, it's easy to be an outdoor field correspondent. All you have to do is record an audio file on your phone and send it to us. We wouldn't mind seeing a photo or video along with it, too. You can email info@alamosacitizen.com or text the audio file and photo to 720-891-6759 with a brief description and your name for credit. Winter is quickly approaching, and supposedly so is the mythical El Nino. Latest forecasting from NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, says Colorado may see above average moisture over the course of the season, We'll be sure to keep our eyes on any upcoming snowfall. Meanwhile, the Colorado Avalanche Information Center has started their avalanche forecast and observations for the winter. Here's the latest outlook on backcountry conditions. According to the CAIC, avalanche danger in the southern mountain region, which encompasses the entire Sangre de Cristo and San Juan ranges, is low above and below treeline right now. However, if you plan on heading north, avalanche danger in the northern mountain region, just north of Steamboat Springs to the Wyoming state line, and in the central mountain region between Crested Butte and Grand Junction, is moderate both above and near treeline right now. In the southern mountains, even though it is the early season, small avalanches can be triggered on a steep slope or couloir. If you observe more than 6 inches of new or drifted snow, northerly slopes are the most dangerous as they harbor early season snow before this past storm. Identify and avoid slopes steeper than around 35 degrees that appear smooth and rounded. Even a small avalanche can be dangerous in early season conditions. Next, we have some news from outside. The Farmers Union Canal and Headgate Improvement Project is going forward with a $1.27 million bump in funds from the Department of the Interior. The multi-benefit project from the Rio Grande Headwaters Restoration Project, in conjunction with the San Luis Valley Irrigation District and the Colorado Rio Grande Restoration Foundation, will replace the diversion dam and headgates with new structures that divert water more efficiently and provide increased watershed health benefits, including improved fish and boat passage. The headgate, which bifurcates the Rio Grande into its now north and south channels downstream of Del Norte, is in need of repair, so a full replacement of the dam and installation of automated headgates will happen instead. CPW has lifted its closure on the Arkansas River after completing the removal of a lowhead dam. The dam was a serious danger to recreators, and due to the danger, CPW decided to remove it and make the water safer. Removing the dam has created a safer waterway for boaters, recreationists, fishers, and of course, the fish. The U.S. Department of Agriculture and the National Forest Service are opening up public comment for climbing access on national parks and proposed guidance that would guide the agencies in managing climbing on national forests, grasslands, and parks. The public is invited to provide feedback through Tuesday, January 16, 2024. The proposed guidance states that climbing is an appropriate use of public lands, including in wilderness areas, and should be managed in a manner that helps protect cultural and natural resources. The draft guidance reflects input received during National Park Service and U.S. Forest Service held tribal listening and tribal consultation sessions for tribes, Native Hawaiian organizations, and Alaskan tribes and organizations. Following the public comment period, the Park Service and Forest Service will develop and publish final policy and guidance informed by public comments. The links provided by the Park Service and Forest Service are a little long and messy to spell out, so bear with us. The easiest path to finding the online public comments and feedback for these agencies is by searching FSM2355 Climbing Opportunities for the Forest Service Plan. Feedback to the National Park Service can be found by searching Evaluation and Authorization Procedures for Fixed Anchors and Fixed Equipment. And our last bit of news. The City of Monte Vista will receive $10,000 through the Outdoor Recreation Roundtable to aid them in building an outdoor recreation economy. ORR is a national business coalition that focuses on outdoor recreation to create jobs and attract new businesses and residents. It has a specific target around rural communities like Monte Vista. SLV Great Outdoors applied for the funds and will help Monte Vista to develop more outdoor recreation. The grant will assist in building a bilingual marketing toolkit, reviving a website, and creating a social media timeline to share progress and upcoming events. The money will also allow Monte Vista to develop an environmental education program to integrate into existing outdoor programs for students. You can read more on all these news items at alamosacitizen.com. And that ends this episode of the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. Special thanks again to Don Richmond for the music that you're hearing, and to Daniel Boyce for the bird songs that you hear. We'll be back here the first week of December with SLB Go's executive director and our friend, Mick Daniel. Thank you for listening in. We hope you enjoyed it. And until next time, stay warm, and we'll see you in the outdoors.